and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Again, thank you for joining us here and on live stream. It is a pleasure to be able to continue diving into this book of Acts in the New Testament. You know, last week we looked at the classic story of Saul's conversion, and we focused in on how God used two friends to help Saul move the gospel forward. And I left with the question, you know, well, how might God be using you as friends to encourage somebody, to team up with somebody in really living out your faith? Well, I had to put into practice what I preached last week, because a friend of mine, their son, was graduating from high school, a kid I've known for 15 years, I think. And so I, at the last minute, decided to go out there for his graduation. And I'm too cheap to fly at the last minute, so I did the 6-hour trip. But it was really the idea of, you know, if these people invested into my life, you know, a part of being a friend is just being there. And that was the first thing we had talked about, was just being there. There were a lot of other people I didn't know, some people I did know, but that wasn't the issue. The issue was, here was this guy that used to run in half a marathons back in the day with me, and him and his dad would get up at 6 in the morning, we'd train, and then this kid thought he was a little smarty pants, and he would seldom train and still run that half marathon, and I still drove out for his graduation. But nonetheless, we all need to really, pastors included, put into practice what we teach. And so in this chapter, chapter 10 of Acts, the writer, there's just a lot of things in that chapter. But Luke narrows it down to two crucial turning points in the history of the early church. One is that the admission of the Gentiles, and again, the Gentile was somebody who was not a Jew. So the admission of the Gentiles into the Christian faith, a non-Jew entering the Christian faith, as well as the fellowship between the Jews and the non-Jews. And I know that seems like an easy topic, but as we'll unpack a little bit, it's easier said than done. And so it's just going to be something that I'm going to touch back on later, that I just don't want to breeze over that real quickly, because I do think that's one of the major points. And we just noticed people, as I read through this, I sent a note to some friends. It's like, I have not taught through the book of Acts, and we've selected several passages, verses going chapter by chapter, but just some of the highlights, and I've not done that before. And I says, I'm really enjoying this, but it is obvious that some of the struggles, some of the concerns of the early church remain some of the struggles and some of the concerns of us here in Artesia. In fact, I'm going to do a verbal replay of about 85 years for us as a church. About 85 years ago, I was 4 at the time. I age well. Anyway, we started out as Artesia Reformed Church. We were mostly the same nationality, which was Dutch. And that wasn't bad. That's how God brought us together as a church. But as the time moved on and the economy grew and our city was expanding, many things changed, including our church. People came in from other parts of the world. They were not Dutch. Let's call them the Gentiles, because they were coming into our world, as least what we had known it, for quite a few years. And they may be created in God's image. Oh, but they were different. And for some people, that difference came a lot easier than for others. But we realized, you know what, that our community was really expanding, and that was good. And that our community was really becoming much more diverse, which was even healthier. Not just healthier for us as people here on earth, but really it's in our diversity that we are made strong, and we understand that the kingdom of God is going to be a whole lot more diverse than even what we probably are accustomed to here. So things were going well, and things changed. We changed locations. We changed our church name to New Life Community Church. We went from speaking in Dutch for the services to English speaking. And was that a rough time for the church? Yes. Did some people leave the church? Yes. But the church was forward thinking about how can we reach the people that God had brought into our community. And some tough decisions were made, and we moved forward. And so people really, really, the early church was really us just a few thousand years ago. Let us pray. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me the vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You see where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, as your people, we look to you. We won't be overwhelmed. Give us to see things. Give us the vision to see things like you do. And God, we look to you as your people. You are where our help comes from. Give us wisdom. You know just what to do. Amen. Well, there is a story. A guy named Lauren Easley has shared this story. There is a story about a wise man who used to go to Seal Beach to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach before he began his work. And one day as he was walking along the shore, he looked down the beach and saw a human figure moving like a dancer. He smiled to himself as the thought of someone who would dance to the day, and so he walked faster to catch up to this dancer. And as he got closer, he noticed that the figure was that of a young man, and that what he was doing was not dancing at all. And at this point, I thought, maybe I should bring up Pastor Mark and Pastor Ryan, and they could play act this young man dancing, but I used the wisdom of my age and decided not to bring them forward to do some liturgical dancing. But anyways, what this young man was doing, he was reaching down to the shore and picking up small objects and throwing them back into the ocean. He came closer still and called out, "Good morning, may I ask, what is it that you are doing?" You know, the young man paused, looked up and replied, "Throwing starfish into the ocean." "Why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" asked the somewhat startled, wise, elderly man. To this, the young man replied, "The sun is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them in, they'll die." Upon hearing this, the wise man commented, "But young man, do you not realize that there are miles and miles of beach and there are starfish all along every mile? You can't possibly make a difference." And at this, the young man bent down, picked up yet another starfish, and threw it into the ocean. As it met the water, the young man said, "It made a world of difference for that one." And as we look at the whole book of Acts, but really particularly today at chapter 10, we are going to learn how to to make a world of difference. And it's going to start with a couple of guys named Cornelius and Peter. And we're going to discover how to make a difference in the world that God has placed us in. We're going to take a look at their world and compare it and insert us into the story. And again, people, there are numerous perspectives on this chapter. And I know Mark and Ryan and Rachel, when all of us teach, it's like, gosh, what do you pull out? What do you teach on? It's one lesson, which could be several from the same chapter. And so we definitely rely on God's Spirit to help direct us as to what is going to make the most sense for this season in our church's life. And I stumbled across an author named Jim Irwin who really helped me to bring some practical application to this chapter in the book of Acts. And so what I saw from Jim, we're on a first name basis now, was that he used the word world to help describe what was happening in Acts chapter 10. Again, there's a lot of verses in there, and so if you think you're going to learn everything you ever wanted to know about the book of Acts chapter 10 today in 35 minutes, it ain't going to happen. So go home. Take some time before the week begins and read through it yourself and see what God may even be bringing to your mind. But again, Acts 10 is a great way to understand what it means to be making a world of difference. And so I'm going to use the word world as an acronym, meaning I'm going to pull the first letter from each one of those as we walk through this study. So let's start, obviously, with the W. W is the first, for those of you who are not spellers, W is the first letter in the word world. And I've practiced those sayings all week, and it's still a tongue twister for me. The word world, W is the first letter of that. And so walk. As we think about Acts 10, let's think about the world and how the early church impacted the entire world, but it had to start with somebody. And here it starts with Cornelius and Peter. And again, the word is walk. And so let's take a look at Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, and again, verse 9. And that's going to begin on page 766. In the Bibles and the chair backs in front of you. You can swipe to it on your phone, or you can follow along here up on the screen. So let's take a look at that. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and...
ein bisschen Nachschub hier besorgen.
Ich